It's finally here. My goodness. We've been talking about the draft for the past 3 months, and we don't have much to say. It's the same thing over and over again, but it's finally here. I'll be so happy when I don't have to do another see or do another mock draft. We're finally at the finish line.
We're getting close. It's hard to believe it's actually finally here because you're right. I think it's the last 2 years. I think we had a fairly good idea what the Steelers were gonna do. And you know, I mean, we knew it was probably Kenny Pickett, the closer it got. There was a little bit of doubt, so I made some suspense there. Then last year we probably were pretty sure it was gonna be a combination of Joey Porter Jr., you know, in the tackle. But this year, you know, Joe, before I jumped on here, I was looking at like I was rounding up all the experts, like top three round picks. They all over the damn place. I don't think anybody really, you know, I mean, JPJ's in there quite a bit. Mims is in there, but I mean, you know, one has Mims and then JPJ. Next guy has Mims and then Zach Frazier. You know, Graham Barton's on a few of these guys' first round picks. I had somebody seeing him getting Graham Barton in the 7th round. I mean, it's just, I really don't know what we're gonna get. And I don't think anybody here would be surprised if they went crazy and went like Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. It's, I don't know.
I saw one where Brian Thomas Jr. was still available, the wide receiver from LSU.
Yep.
Hey, go for it.
And
Hey, if you want
who's
another elite wide receiver, go for it.
the guy? And I'm telling you right now, if this happens, it's on you. Who's the guy for like the last 3 weeks keeps falling into their laps because you do the mock draft while we're on here? Was it the kid from Alabama?
Oh, the JC Latham
Yeah,
or
I swear to God, if we get him, that's all on you. It's like,
well, I saw a mock draft where they got him, but they had to trade up to 16, which I think is a totally possible scenario that they're moving up 4 slots to get JC Latham. Because if that's the case, I think that's a best case scenario. Yeah, you'd give up like a third rounder or something like that. But hey, I mean, they did it last year with Broderick Jones.
right, and that's what I mean. Like, will they make another reach? Because I think we all kind of knew Broderick Jones was the guy, or some combination. This year, I just, you know, and there's that kid from Iowa, Cooper DeJean. It's or DeJean. It's still out there. Wouldn't surprise me to get him. It's a lot of fun, and I think the thing is too, going into this year, there's a little bit of desperation is the wrong word. I think there's people that are scared about the center position. You know, it's not like, okay, well, we have a guy. We legitimately don't have a
No,
center. So
there's
it's like,
nobody.
you know, we have a few linebackers, got a few wide receivers. We definitely need another wide receiver, so we definitely need that. But we have a few. We don't have a center. It's like, if you're gonna make pizza tomorrow night with your wife, we got bread, okay, got cheese, okay. We don't have any sauce.
Uh-oh.
We
Yeah.
need to draft sauce at the
We
grocery
need to
store.
draft sauce.
Wait, we got to
Sauce
draft
is
some
an
sauce.
important component of the pizza.
Yeah,
We need sauce.
yeah. We got some sausage. We got some mushrooms. But we need to draft sauce. So.
Yeah, that's and that is one thing that's different than previous years, because in previous years their philosophy was you basically field an entire team before the draft, and then whatever happens in the draft, you get the best player available, and there you go. This year, we need a center.
Yeah,
I don't know
it's
what's gonna happen.
I guess the only thing I'd have to say is I feel like a center is going to play a part in this in the first 3 picks. After that, I get a little worried because there are some guys, but they're guys without a lot of experience. So, you know, I think we had a couple weeks on ago with Leanne saying the same thing about that Barton from Duke, real raw. So I don't know, you know, it's just kind of crazy. I mean, it really, really is. On what they're gonna do, and I think everybody in Yinzer Nation would be okay if it's defensive tackle, or offensive tackle. I'm sorry, But if they go like wide receiver, cornerback, I think you're going to see the glue come off a little. We need a center. Like, I don't know. It's just it's really going to be interesting to see what kind of sparks fly and who says what and what's going to go. Of course, all the Kenny Pickett haters are on there bemoaning every pick, which I find fascinating. Like, okay, guys, we get it. You're angry. You're mad. He's in Philadelphia. Just didn't work out here. Maybe it'll work out there. You need to get over it. Stop hating on everybody else if we're looking at.
I forget which one they, which third round pick they got from Philadelphia. I forget which one, if it's the 84 or the 119 or whatever, but I want that pick to be something special. I basically want I want Kenny Pickett traded for like a really good, like maybe like the next, like 10-year starter at center or something like that. Something really good.
And like then there's been like two guys that have kind of made a little bit of a, I don't want to say, it's hard to say they've made a rise, but they have. Like you hear Max Melton a lot, cornerback out of Rutgers. Now, I got to see him play twice in his career. He's very good. He this past year he made Rutgers an actually decent team. When you have a cornerback that makes your team better, it's probably something to consider. So if they grab Max Melton at somewhere, I'm thinking maybe you can get him in the third round. I'd be really happy. The other kids, not to go everything into Big Ten, the other kid's at Roman Wilson, who's kind of a Hines Ward guy. Like he blocks as a wide receiver. He's got some tenacity to him, but not like jerky. Sorry to the past for jerky wide receivers we've had. That got a kid in Carolina. And so, but you know, I mean, so you just don't know what I mean. It's just so much fun. I don't think they could do. I don't think there's anything, Joe, that they could do. I don't think that everybody's going to go, what the hell? What are you doing? I don't think. So,
That's the
yeah. I,
thing.
the only
That's
way
the thing.
that happens is if they go like cornerback, wide receiver, like, you know, running back or something
You know,
like
the only way is if like they traded up to get a quarterback or something like that. If they like
that.
drafted Michael Penix or something like that, then we're
Right.
like, okay, what the hell are you doing? Like, did you guys get hacked or something? And the thing about this, it seems like every year there's between one and usually I'd say on average, like, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, like what you would consider first round talent. I think this year the talent goes at least past 20 for like legit first round players. So I think you got a pretty deep draft. So even if they just sat back and just saw like how the draft worked out, how it played out, I think they'd be fine. I don't know if they're gonna do that, but because hey, they need a wide receiver, they need a center, they need a tackle, they need a cornerback, they need all those things. So just let maybe they let it play out, maybe they don't. I don't know.
Yeah, a guy you brought up too is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. You brought him up a couple times. I think that would be an outstanding pick, a cornerback. I guess what you could say is if they go with Wiggins or that Max Milton guy or Dasheen from Iowa, then you got to say, man, we have one hell of a backfield. Not only do we have a hell of a defensive backfield, we have a very young, talented, fast defensive backfield. So, I mean, okay, I mean we solidified that, I guess. But then if that's the thing, Joe, if they don't go center in the first round, which not everybody is demanding they do, then in the second round, now that becomes very interesting because that's where I think JPJ, my guess is JPJ is the only center that might go in round one. Other than that, I think a lot of those centers do fall to round two. So that's where it gets really interesting,
But where
you
in
know,
round two? That's a thing. It's like would they
where,
would
right?
most likely if the Steelers want to get this the center that they want, they're probably gonna have to trade up in round two. And hey, so be it.
Right. And that's where I was like, that's like, I think we talked a little bit about that before. Like I guess a lot of our viewers or listeners, the most way we compare that is our own fantasy draft. Like you're sitting there and like, well, okay, there's a guy I really like at wide receiver, but I have zero tight ends, and now like 11 are off the board, and now I'm worried about getting like, so I have no choice but I got to draft this guy, and you have to wonder, is that what the Steelers are thinking because of the way they put themselves in the spot? Like, here's a second round. Man, we really like that receiver. We really like that defensive lineman or that offensive guard, but we've got to go center. We don't have a choice, so we're
going
to
go with this. Right.
You know, I mean.
Tomlin and Omar Khan had a press conference today, and, you know, someone just asked him, was like, do you get the best player available, or do you go to a position in need? And, you know, this, you say the same thing every year. It's such a cliche. And Omar Khan said, we get the best player available at a position of need. It's there you go. You know, if some quarterback or something is available, they're not going to get him. So, yeah, it's funny. That Cooper DeJean fascinates me. He's not an outside corner, but he could be a slot corner and a safety. So if you get him, you're kind of getting two players sort of, and that sounds like that's just really fascinating. He just sounds like he would be a really interesting option in that defense.
He does, and he's the kind of guy, you know, this, if you, I know, Pitt, you're mostly, you know, delving into the ACC, but this is a guy that Iowa defense was so good this past year. It kept them in almost every game because their offense was so pitiful. And he was a big part of that. He could cover a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., but he can also knock a tight end on his butt. Kind of like a Carnell Lake in a way, not the dimensions of Carnell Lake, because Carnell Lake looked like a linebacker.
Yeah.
But just a lot you can do with him, and that's got to be attractive to Tomlin, that defense, and where you could put him and the possibilities of where you could plug him, what he can do. You know, you could interchange him in the defense, and that's attractive when you have a guy that's like a multi-tool Swiss Army knife kind of a guy. And he's not only that, but Steelers, for all they did last year, they still had problems sometimes with tackling. We've said that a couple times, and he's a guy that's not going to have a problem with tackling. He's a great tackler. He is your classic wrap and bring you down with both arms kind of a guy. Did not get a lot of penalties, one of the least penalized players on that team. Very few pass interference calls. So it tells you two things. One, he's disciplined. Two, he doesn't get beat a lot, right? So he's not playing catch up to, you know, to bring a guy back in. So, you know, there's a lot of upswing with him, a lot of upswing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So here are, let's call them the candidates. At cornerback, you have that Terrion Arnold at Alabama, Nate Wiggins. I don't know if there is another first round corner that would be good around the time of this, of when the Steelers pick, besides Cooper DeJean.
Right, I think Nate Wiggins would be pretty high up there.
Yeah, yeah. So cornerback is a possibility. Tackle, you have that Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. You have Amarius Mims from Georgia, who is another fascinating case. That'll be, oh gosh, you know.
And that would be, to me, he's the Broderick Jones this year in the NFL. It seems like if you had to take a common denominator, most experts, you know, podcast guys, whatever you want to call everybody, Mims seems to be the guy that's generally the first place. So that would be the not surprise pick at all. But you're right. There's some other guys out there that are pretty good.
It just makes sense. It makes, you know, Broderick Jones has to be talking up this guy like crazy. I mean, all these teams do is say, we need to get intel on these players. We need to, you know, that's why they got, who's that? Anthony McFarland. That running back from Maryland, because I think he was right. Like friends with Tomlin's kid, like, you know Tomlin knew, you know, they knew him very well because of that. So they probably got, you know, advanced intel. That's why, you know, they got those Pitt guys, because, you know, they work out at the same, you know, facility. So getting, you know, any information they want about Mims, I'm sure Broderick Jones is providing them. I'm guessing they're close. So that makes total sense.
Some of the guys you named there, It does. It makes perfect sense. And that's why it's so odd with there's a lot of things that make a lot of sense, which is different. Like Joe Alt is by far the best offensive tackle in this draft. And I don't think he's making it out of the top 10 at least. He'll probably go top 5 or 6. But after that, the names you just mentioned, a lot of them, they could fall right to the Steelers. I mean, the second guy is generally like Fuaga, who's a monster. And if he falls to the Steelers, you got to think, I would love to be a fly in that room because they got to be sitting there going, "What do we do? We didn't think Fuaga
Right.
was going to be here." I mean, and then there's the Futanu from Washington. Then the guy from Penn State, you have, which I mean, you'd think I should know his name. Or
Olu
his,
Fashanu.
yeah, Olufoshanu. He could be there. And then you talked about J.C. Latham. I mean, if those four guys, or at least three of the four, I mean, holy crap, is Mims now your guy still? Or is
That's the
Mims
thing.
just a guy who's, well, that's where we, how far we'll think he'll fall.
Exactly. They want, if we believe everything, they want their priority is tackle. But what if everybody else's priority is also tackle? What if all the good ones are gone? Then what do? Then you gotta get a cornerback or a wide receiver or something like that. And that's fine too. It happens. But it's also possible that the board can go perfectly. First of all, I'm seeing Penix to the Raiders. So that would make, well, God, I'm seeing Bo Nix getting drafted in early in the first round. So that would be five quarterbacks before 20. Five out of 20 would be quarterbacks. Then you have your wide receivers, you have your defensive tackles.
Right.
There's only so many other players out there. You could just by sitting still at 20, they could just have this choice of like awesome possibilities. So it's just really fascinating how this is all going to go. And then you have your idiots. The Giants do something stupid sometimes. The Raiders always do something stupid.
Right.
This is Washington. There are some stupid teams out there that are going to draft someone, some like some that we're projecting to go in like the fourth round or something like that, and they get him in the top 10 or something like that. We're like, what
Those
are you doing?
are my favorite guys because usually in the first round, the first night, they'll say, "Okay, we're gonna go with Joe Alt," and they go right to because all those guys from Mel Kiper, whoever, they got all their stuff on Joe Alt up on the screens. Joe Alt, Notre Dame, went to high school in California, blah, 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 reading down the whole list. Then, like you said, they'll always be like they drafted Derek Holmes, and then they'll put a highlight. There's silence because these guys are like, "Who the
The
hell's
guys
Derek
are like
Holmes?"
looking through this, like, I
From
don't have
Wright,
this guy. I don't know
yeah,
where he is. Where is this guy? I
Bedard
have
at
to go
Wright
back.
State, and well, this is unexpected. They try to find something nice to say, but
Right,
yeah,
right.
there's, that's always fun on draft night to have that awkward silence draft. Yeah, and you're right. It's kind of funny. You wouldn't think it happens in the first round, but the last couple of years have been a few where you're like, what? Who? So, or the common thing is, well, okay, but I think they easily could have got this guy in the fourth or fifth round, so I'm sure there'll be somebody.
It's gonna be fascinating. It's gonna I'm so excited.
What do you think is the chance the Steelers move up?
Oh, very good. Very good.
I think when we started talking about the draft, I was leaning to probably less than 20%. But the more I think about it, the latest regime, they aren't the old Steelers. So I think you're right.
So
I
I have an
think you're right.
example. This Olu Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State, apparently, was he a senior?
Yeah, in fact, last year they had him go in top five and he still.
Exactly. He could have come out last year. So you're talking about a top five guy. Some mock drafts, I see him going 14. I saw him, one of them, going 17. Don't you think if they have the Steelers have a chance to get basically the number two tackle in the entire draft, and all they have to do is move up five or six spots, don't you think they're going to do that?
I
I
think they'll
think
draft.
very likely they would do that.
I think, I mean, I guess you could probably, in a way, I mean, Tomlin was still there, but Devin Bush was a bust. It wasn't good. The last couple ones have worked out so much. So yeah, I think they'll take a gamble on it. Hey, you gamble sometimes, you win, sometimes you lose. And I think these guys are kind of willing to do that a little bit. That being said, I do keep going back to, we said it last year, and I think last year was pretty good. They got to hit again this year, Joe. They can't have a bad draft class if they want to keep on contending and improving. You know, they really do. And this year, it's kind of, they got to plug holes I don't think they were intending to plug. So, you know, it's like, yeah, they got to hit this right. They got to do it right. So you and I are looking forward to just the spectators. If I was like Tomlin and those guys, part of me is probably like throwing up a little bit in the garbage can starting like tomorrow. Cause it's like, oh boy.
Not only do you have the pressure of, hey, we got some holes we need to fill. Yeah. There just seems to be a lot of pressure of the owner saying, I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of not even winning a damn playoff game. Can we do something here? So there's a lot of pressure going on. And yeah, they hit on almost every draft pick last year. They kind of need the same winning percentage this year. It's a necessity.
Yeah, it really is, because you're figuring, I think they got to find almost three starters out of the first four.
Yeah.
You know, and that's scary to think that, but you need a – unless they find a receiver somewhere else in free agency or something, they need a starting receiver, a starting center, and a starting tackle. I mean, really. I mean, maybe not – I don't know, Joe, what you think about that, but they at least need a new starting center – a new starting wide receiver, and they possibly need a starting, you know, cornerback. So, I mean, it's very interesting. Very interesting. That's a lot. You're putting on some rookies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing. What are you going to do? Have these people start from day one? That's right. That's not good.
Right. Although, and maybe that's why the center of the tackle is a safer pick, because – while all rookies do struggle to a point, I think interior linemen, offense and defensive, both I feel adjust the fastest. You know, there's always that proverbial. Remember even when they drafted Big Ben, he started behind Tommy Maddox, and you know, they kind of eased JPJ in there a little bit. And you're thinking, no, get him in there. Remember how everyone was like calling like JPJ needs to be a starter? And then game was that? It wasn't because they didn't play him hardly at all against the 49ers. Everyone is already like, okay, it's time to put JPJ in. Then, like, the game he starts, I think he had an interception his first NFL game, maybe. But it's like Pirates fans right now, like, when are we going to bring up Skeens? You know, because he's just absolutely killing people. So, yeah.
Well, the Steelers lately have had this philosophy of you don't start the rookies right away. I think because you have, you know, the rookie wall is a thing. You know, these guys are used to playing 11, 12 games, and now they're playing 17. And so, yeah, bring along slowly. And I think what they saw in previous years is if you had like a rookie that was doing really well, they just crapped out at the end. They just got tired. So it's like, okay, we'll save you in the beginning. We were saying the same thing about Broderick Jones. Like, why the heck aren't you starting him? You know, they waited 5 or 6 weeks. Same thing with Joey Porter Jr. So maybe that's their philosophy, but how do you draft all these people that have to be starters? Whoever you draft the center, that's your starter day one. You can't do that whole load management thing. You got to start putting them in right away.
Yeah, that's why I keep going back to, you know, you could tear down all those centers. I think you got to go, if you're going for the center, I think you got to go for JPJ or Frazier, because to me, those are the guys that are proven starters that I do feel like what you're saying is really intelligent, is we need a guy that's going to get in there week one, he's starting. Because they, you know, they talk about these other guys upswing, but they need some work on them. I don't think they have time to work on it.
Right.
You know, right. And that may prove into their thing where if they take JPJ in the first round, which I think is a possibility, that may be the reason why, and solely the reason why. Would we have liked to have taken the guy from Mims? Would we have liked to have taken Wiggins? Yes, yes. But we needed a guy that could start week one and go. And that's why we chose him. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that they've tried to emphasize ever since last year, and now especially with a new offensive coordinator that loves to run the ball is that we want to win in the trenches. We want to have goons there. Well, what have they done to get another tackle or another center like in free agency? Nothing. It's all on the draft if you want to
Yeah.
fill these positions. So, yeah. No pressure.
But I mean, it's tough, Joe, because you know, I mean, just a couple weeks ago, and for the last couple weeks, we've been applauding what they did do in free agency. Queen is like jump up and down. We've got two new quarterbacks. The last three quarterbacks who were on the roster last year are all gone, including a first round draft pick. They're gone. We have two new guys, kind of almost unbelievable. But it happened, and that's the case. So there were your splashes. And here we are, and you know, no more DJ, and so that's a little bit of a hole. And again, I go back to I called them, I called it, but you and Allison also were probably right in the fact that that could end up to where we are right now, and we are there right now where they need another wide receiver. They didn't get one in free agency. I'm still surprised at this point. I know it makes everybody shake. They haven't brought Mason Cole back just to have a guy that at least is a center that played a position. He played it poorly, but at least he knows the scheme, I guess, or at least he can do it if they need him to. And I still say I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't bring him in after the draft. But that's where you're at. So it really does make it a lot of fun. And the strategy, if you like chess, you got to love the NFL draft. It's not checkers, guys, it's chess.
So they asked in the press conference, do you guys do mock drafts? You know, how do you anticipate what the other teams are going to do? And basically they said mock drafts are a waste of time because we don't know what the other teams are going to do, and we just prepare for whatever happens, but we don't, trying to guess what these people will do is just it's just a waste of time. So we have our board and we'll just go buy our board.
I think there's got to be some truth to that, right? I mean, because I think those first 12 picks, you may have some guys leapfrogging. A lot of people are talking about the Ravens, for whatever reason, being very active, trying to move up for somebody. I'm not sure who it is. They're talking about the Ravens. They're talking about the Vikings maybe playing with their two picks a little bit, you know. So I mean, it's really is could be very interesting. There's people saying, well, you know, the Panthers may try to do something nuts to get back because they don't have a first round pick. They're talking about how can they get back into it, you know. So I think there's got to be some partial truth to that. They probably really don't know. So yeah, and maybe they, like you said, let the draft come to them a little bit. But it's gonna be
Just
fun.
remember last year, the reason why the Steelers were able to get Broderick Jones is they made a trade with New England, who was at the 14th position at the time. And the reason why New England made the trade is because they knew the Jets wanted Broderick Jones. So they said, here, you can have him.
Right.
We'll make a trade with you. So
Yeah.
it's
Yep.
petty stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah, and that's got to be the case. And like, I think people get on the Steelers about they show their hand a little bit. I think there's a way showing your hand in poker that's both stupid but both cunning too. And I think in a way, everybody thinks they know what the Steelers are going to do, but with Omar Khan, we don't know what the hell they're going to do.
We
Like,
used to know what they were going to do. Now we don't have a damn clue.
it's April 22nd. Our quarterbacks, our two guys. We never, if you would have told me back on November 22nd, these would be our quarterbacks on April 22nd, I would have been like, you are out of your damn mind. There is no way that's going to happen.
I remember we swore up and down on this podcast, there's no way they want Justin Fields. What are you talking about?
There was like one podcast we did where we thought that they finally had said no. And I think we even started, opened it with that, like, okay, we know it's not Justin Fields.
Right.
Whoops.
Yeah. Who knows what's gonna happen? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Just remember on draft day, draft night eve to leave milk and cookies for Kevin Costner. Because he's the patron saint of draft days. That
Or for Mel
movie.
Kiper.
Every year. Yeah, Mel Kiper is really the patron saint of the draft. They need to do a statue of him, but I mean, Mel Kiper made this. He made this entire thing because he was a dork that he was a geek that made his own guide to this stuff. You know, nobody knew this stuff before. Nobody had, maybe you had like a magazine or something like that. Maybe I don't even know if that was a thing back then. He made his own book of draft prospects, and then he gets on ESPN, and he became a legend. And because of him, and really only him, he was the dude. And then I guess that that Bill Tobin just recently passed away because everybody was showing the clip of him saying, "Who the hell's Mel Kiper?" Which is one of the great clips of all time,
Oh, one of the great of all time. Bill Polian. I
Maybe
can't
it was
remember.
Bill Polian. Yeah, maybe.
Well, because that was the year, if I remember right, the Colts had picks one and two, one of those weird ass deals. And they went with Steve Entman, who was a defensive tackle from Washington, or no, offensive tackle. And they went with Quentin Coriat, who I believe was out of the University of Miami. And that's when, like you look at the Colts, who were 1-15 for like the second year in a row. And that's why I think he said this is why they are 1-15 they're picking every year. And Ettman was supposed to be like, Tony Mandarich, like a can't miss product. He was gone in like 3 years, so he was right. Quentin Coriat ended up being okay, but not I mean, I think he's in the NFL for about 5 or 8 years, but not
He was
second round.
okay. Yeah.
He was okay. He wasn't second round, second overall pick material, and then it was what, a few years later they go with Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf, I believe it was. Was it
Yeah.
Peyton Manning and then Ryan Leaf? I think
No, it was,
was Ryan Leaf and then Peyton Manning.
I think it was Ryan Leaf, then Peyton Manning.
Oh,
I
I mean,
think. I think the Chargers, I'm gonna look at that up right now.
we have to do that. We'll have to remember that next year, Joe, to have an episode on worst draft busts ever.
Well, you mentioned Tony Mandarich. That's why I'm laughing like crazy. That dude was the most can't miss prospect ever. He was so hyped, and he was such a bust.
Oh,
Remember Brian Bosworth? Remember all the hype around him?
Oh, and I'll never forget sitting there Sunday night watching him and Bo play that game, Seahawks and Raiders. And
And
he's
Bo
drunk.
ran him over.
But you're right about Kiper. I mean, so I was talking to my wife earlier about this. Like, I remember we got cable, I want to say it was in 1986 or 85, something like that. And even though, like, now you have all these things, we still only got probably like 30 channels on top of the three or four we had, right? You had like all these things, but ESPN was one of them. And I remember just, they're talking about it. I'm like, okay. And I forget what reason it was, but I remember that first year having it, sitting there on ESPN, watching them do that, like in the late 80s is when they ran the whole thing. And I just couldn't take my eyes off it. It's like, I mean, he had so much research. It was almost like every pick they just turned to see, okay, Mel, who the hell's this tackle from Oklahoma? And we're like, and he
They didn't
knew.
know. They're all just
He was
like,
like
"Mel,
him.
please help us, Mel."
It was him. It was obviously the Pete Axholm was in there, and then of course a couple of the other guys, but I mean, Mel led the show,
So in that
he
98 draft, it was Peyton Manning first.
it was,
Took Peyton Manning first. The San Diego Chargers took Ryan Leaf second. Oakland ended up with Charles Woodson at number four. That worked out well.
That worked out pretty
The Bears got Curtis Enos, the running back from Penn
well. Penn
State.
State,
Oof.
who did okay, but was pretty much kind of a bust.
Yeah. Jacksonville took Fred Taylor, the running back, ninth.
Who just was he owned us.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
how many games? And it wasn't like he ran for like 109 yards. He'd run for like 300 yards against us.
He just owned the Steelers.
Oh.
And then for some reason, Randy Moss went 21st to the Vikings. I think he was like a Dan Marino situation where it's like, oh, we heard her rumors or
Yeah, it
whatever.
was all his whole life. That one of the better 30 for 30s is his life.
Oh,
And
yeah.
how I was it Michigan that he may have been going to, and they all that crap came out, and so he went to Marshall. You know, because
I
remember
think
he
there
went
was
to
like three or four schools he was going to go to, and he just
Yeah.
kept getting in trouble and stuff. And
And then he goes to Marshall, and like nobody ever heard of Marshall before. And now Marshall, you know, they go to Division One, and he's insane at Marshall, but
oh yeah, oh my God,
yep.
he was a man among boys at Marshall. You know,
Oh.
especially Marshall wasn't playing the greatest competition. I mean, I've seen him. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, cute. He's hurtling over someone. The dude was like he was like Superman. He was just flying over people. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Yep.
So there were four Hall of Famers drafted in that 98 draft: Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Randy Moss, and Alan Faneca by the Steelers at
Steelers.
26.
Yep, which is a great pick. And I mean, you know, I still say you go back to Super Bowl 40, and he's the one that sprung that block that let Willie Parker go nuts. And you know, that's what really, I think, put the Steelers ahead at that point. And they really never looked back too
You know,
much.
the other fun thing about those ESPN things is this is the first, you know, a lot of times it's not like now where you could watch every single college football game that's, you know, ever existed. You rarely saw some of these people. We didn't see all of LSU's games. So when Alan Faneca gets drafted, we're like, we knew about him because we knew he was supposed to be a guard, and then that was kind of controversial why he taking a guard in the first round. But I remember people were like, yeah, he's that good. But I would just, you know, they announced the player, and then you see highlights of the guy, and you see highlights of Alan Faneca, you know, throwing people around and knocking people into the next solar system. It's like, oh,
Yep.
okay, we got a good one.
Yeah. Yep. I remember that. I remember, and I think it was one of the first years I watched NFL draft. It was 87. And I told my dad, you know, I picked some guy from Purdue named Rod Woodson. And well, I mean, to this day, the one Steeler I wish we never, ever would have let go anywhere. I feel like he
Just
should have.
convert him to safety or something. That hurts. That hurt when he went to San Francisco and then the Ravens. That hurt because he was my first love. He was one of my very first. He was a
Oh.
my first jersey that I ever got was Rod Woodson.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy. That he is. Oh God, he's an idol. And
Yep.
I now a lot of times, almost every single time, it's a cliche of coaches. They say, oh, we can't believe this player fell to us. We're so happy. No, this time they were legit shocked that Rod Woodson fell to them. That was, and remember, he was in that big holdout.
Yeah, yep. And that was probably one of Chuck Knoll's last real guys that he, I would say that he probably, you know, because he, I would have, I think Eric Green would have been a pick from Chuck Knoll. And then after that, I think, you know, Huey Richardson, who was a bust. And then you went to Leon Searcy. I think that was Bill Cowher's first pick. Either Searcy or Dion Figures would have been Cowher. But yeah, yep.
Yeah, that was a rough draft for everyone else.
Kind of funny to look down that. So it was Faneca then in 1990 to go with Troy Edwards, who stunk. But then it was Plex the next year. And I think that was Plexico Burress the last time they picked inside of top 10. Yes, it
They took
was.
Plex to top. They
Plexico
picked.
Burress was the number 8 overall pick
Well,
in 2000.
they got Flex number 8 because they drafted Troy Edwards number
Yeah,
because of the year
right.
before.
Well, guess what? Yeah.
We
So
need a wide receiver. Okay, now we
again,
really need a wide receiver. And
you're
the
like
funny thing about Troy Edwards was, I think, did he play for, was it Louisiana Tech or
Louisiana
something like
Tech,
that?
where Bradshaw went.
Bradshaw
Yeah,
went,
he had those
and
crazy numbers, like, you know,
one
collegiate.
game. He had one game where he had like 400 yards receiving, and that made his entire. That's why the only reason he got drafted.
Right.
One good game. He had one good game, and that made his career. Same thing with Jadeveon Clowney. One
Then
good
go,
game, it makes his
yeah.
entire career.
Then 01, you start getting back into the Super Bowl, next Super Bowl. You have Casey Hampton, Big Snack, who's the 19th overall. Then Kendall Simmons, and oh God, man, Kendall Simmons. Wasn't he brought up with the Kenny Pickett? Because I think Kendall Simmons was the last guy. Because I think the Steelers only kept him for like 3 years. Because isn't that what they said with Kenny Pickett?
I think
Right?
so.
So
I think so. It's like, yeah, this
he's in
is
the
the
Kenny
last guy to
Pickett
last
Club.
so short.
He's in the Kenny Pickett Club. They'll never be on the Wall of Fame at Heinz Field. Then one of the greatest ever, Troy Polamalu in 03.
They traded up to get him.
Yes. 03, 04, 05 went Troy, Big Ben, Heath Miller.
My
That's
goodness.
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
They traded up to get Troy Polamalu. I think Troy was taken 16th overall.
Yes.
And they traded, and I think they I think the they traded with the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs ended up with that Penn State running back, Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson. Yeah. So, I mean, so
I
that's
don't
why
remember what I had for breakfast. But I remember the details of the 2003 draft.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Same here. So yeah, so it's just I think it's gonna kind of go the same way. Last three picks, Broderick Jones, Kenny Pickett, Najee Harris, Devin Bush, the last four picks. And I could you guess you could say Najee and Broderick Jones are the best two out of that four for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, oh God, I just saw Artie Burns in 2016.
Oh.
Oh, what did we miss on that one? And
Oh.
I think that's the proverbial fun part of the draft, Joe. Like all these guys, all right, so we just looked at, the top 25 or whatever. Here's all there's no guarantee that
None.
every one of those guys is gonna
None.
be.
We talk about these guys, we talk them up like they're all gonna be good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe we'll get this tackle. Oh, they're all because don't worry. They're all because, like, no, some of them will be massive busts. Some of
Yep.
them will not work out at all, no matter what you do, no matter all the evaluation. They could be talking to every person that player has ever talked to in their life, their kindergarten teacher or something like that. They don't know. They don't know what's going to happen when they get to the NFL. And that's the fascinating thing about all this. It's just amazing. They just don't know. There's no guarantees in these things.
No, and that's just the way it is. I mean, it's like I guess there's some guys we've all thought, especially I guess you're probably more in this area, you're homer to Penn State or Pitt, and you're thinking, oh, they're going to be great. And then like, well, like Curtis Enos, he was okay. I think he was okay for a year or two with the Bears, and he didn't really end up doing too much, and Pitt's had their guys like that, and so is Notre Dame, and just the way it is. I remember Ron Pallas. I mean, everybody thought, oh my God, Ron Pallas is going to be the greatest quarterback in history. And like, yeah, he stunk.
Notre Dame.
And so, I mean, it's just, yeah, that's the part that's fun. You always are kind of taking a risk with these guys because no matter how good they may have been in college, they might just not work out in the NFL. That's why it's the NFL,
Amazing. It's amazing. That's the thing. It's
Yeah.
just fascinating. This entire process is fascinating. Just everything that goes on behind the scenes is just it's exciting. It's crazy. It's just, yeah. And
Yeah.
a lot of this we owe to Mel Kiper. Seriously, he created this. He created an entire industry,
Yeah.
and I
Yeah.
don't think he gets enough credit for that. I remember, was it 2019? I think it was a when was Jalen Hurts drafted? Was it 19, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Should have been
That he
2019.
had in his mock draft, he said the Steelers should draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. And people are like, idiots. What are you talking about? Why would the Steelers want to, they got Big Ben? Why would you need another quarterback, idiots? Look at him now. So
But you know, it's like it's that history plays into it, and I don't care whatever you say, nobody will ever convince me. And this isn't necessarily isn't a knock on Kenny Pickett. It's not. You can't tell me what happened in 1984 at Dan Marino did not play into picking Kenny Pickett a couple 3 years ago. You can't. I mean, it had to be. It was there. We can't have another Dan Marino. I legitimately think they bought into that a little bit. I really, really do. You know, and yeah, yep. Because God, we sit here all the time, at least once every other podcast, and say, could you imagine if this guy ended up, you know, in Steelers, you know,
I
you go to
wonder if it would
most
have
winter
worked.
houses, there'll be the proverbial Miami Dolphin something like this
Oh,
for
yeah.
Marino, right? And that's the only reason why. There's no other connection to the Miami Dolphins. You know, there's it's the guy like, if we only would have, you know.
I have Dan Marino Dolphin stuff back there. Yeah. Yeah. And how the Steelers, in theory, would know every single thing about Kenny Pickett. They worked with him. They worked at the same facility. They know the coaches. They've seen him play. They should know everything about him. And look how he turned out. It's amazing. It's amazing. His strength was his character. It's like, oh, don't worry. He'll learn things. He won't do the same mistake over and over again. He has a good attitude. He's a good leader. And look what happened. It's the amazing thing. You never know what's gonna happen. And that's the awesome part of it.
You really don't. So, yeah, man, it'll be, I guess we'll have to try to do a just go live tweeting and have a lot of fun with that.
I'm gonna try to work. See, here's the thing. I don't want to be on for 4 hours, but I do want to be on like the hour before the Steelers pick, and I want to have some kind of live thing. I'm still working on it. I'll let you know.
Let me know. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do something. We'll see. I'm hoping to have it like more interactive. That would be like a live chat thing with like people on Twitter or something like that. We'll see. We'll see. We'll work something out. But yeah, but that's the thing. I need to time it out because I need this. I don't want a 3 hour talk about. We could talk for 3 hours about the first round of the draft, but still, I
Right.
want to limit it to like 1 hour if I
Yeah,
could.
for sure. All right, Joe.
All right, sir. Hey, thanks a lot.
See you Thursday. Thank you.